Before I start, I just want to thank everyone for the gift. I'm not sure who exactly participated, but the entire shiur. So thank you very, very much. In honor of the gift, I made sure to use it twice for today's shiur. And it really was valuable. There's some fantastic insights by Rav Hirsch. And I thank you, and I thank you for your generosity, and I also thank you for listening closely enough to realize that I didn't have a Rav Hirsch, since I always used to borrow one. Anyway, okay. Thank you very, very much. Actually, my car needs to be taken in. Okay.
We're into the spiritual.
Okay. Where we left off last time, for those who were here, was we were in the middle already of Hashem's dealing with Cain. In fact, we saw at the end of last week Cain's famous retort of Hashomer Achi Anochi, and Hashem crying out, like, what are you talking about? Kol demei achicha tzoakim elai, the blood of your brother is crying out to me from the ground, and arur atam min ha'adama, you will be cursed in Perek Daled Pasuk Yud Aleph. We saw last time before Shavuos, the ambiguity, who's being cursed? The ground, Adam, wasn't clear at the time. And then we saw Pasuk Yud Beis that Cain will work the land, but lo tosef take kochala, it will not produce for him. No v'nod tiev aretz, and he will be a wanderer, an exile in the land. That's where we left off last time, and I would like to see a few psukim tonight, which really end primarily this story, this incredible, powerful story. And as the title of the shir indicates, there's a running machlokes, a running ambiguity about Cain's reaction to all of this. So that is something which we haven't really seen until now, but is very much picked up on by Chazal and some mefarshim in the psukim we will see today. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, also itself a very famous verse. V'yomer Cain el Hashem. Cain responds after hearing this terrible punishment of him being a wanderer and never being able to produce well in the ground. Gadol avoni min so. Now, presumably, we'll translate it simply, although we'll see this as itself debated. Is my sin too great to bear? Gadol avoni min so. Now, I just translated that as a rhetorical question. But we'll have to see if that is the only way to understand the pasuk. Continues Cain, "Hein garashti osi hayom al pnei adama. You are banishing me from the land today. Umipanecha esater, and from your face I will be hidden. Vayisi no v'nod baretz, and I will be a wanderer in the land. Vayachol motzi yargeni, and anyone who sees me is going to kill me." Now this is very, very questionable pasuk, right? I think virtually every part of the pasuk doesn't make sense, or at least it's not understandable on its face. What does that mean to say you've sent me out of the land? What does that mean? Number two is, in what way is umipanech asater, in what way is Hashem hidden from him? And in what way do we have any indication of motzi hargeni, that anyone's going to kill him? That hasn't been part of the punishment at all.
But who's there anyway?
Well, that's true, and so presumably it has to refer to animals, right? Okay. Animals. But why should we assume that? So the Torah continues, Pasuk Tezvav, Yomer lo Hashem, Hashem responds to him, L'chein, and this is a very, very vague Pasuk. I can't even translate it without getting into a major machlokas mefarshim. So we'll have to hold off on the translation of the key phrase. But Hashem responds to him and says, L'chein kol ha-horeg Kain, anyone who kills Kain, Shiv asayim yukam. Now, I'm going to leave that untranslated for now. I'm going to leave that untranslated for now. Is that, who's that for? Is that for Cain? Is that for somebody else? Is that good for Cain? Bad for Cain? What is going on at the end of that phrase is very unclear. However, speaking of unclear and famous, the pasuk continues. This is really classic stuff. V'yasem Hashem l'Kain os. God made some kind of a sign. Is it on Cain, for Cain, with Cain? Not clear. L'Kain, how do you translate L'Kain? On him? Scarlet letter, or other perhaps possibilities in Midrashim, or is it with or for Cain, but necessarily on him? Not clear. And somehow this sign was to protect him, that no one who runs into him should beat him up. And finally, Pasuk Tazayin, Yete Cain, at this point it's all over, Cain departs, Milifnei Hashem, Yeshef, Ve'eretz Nod, Kitmas Eden, in the east of the Garden of Eden, in an area that's called Node. Now, where is the Node? We just heard that word, right?
Right.
Or very close to it. Navanad. And we'll see there are some Mefarshim who see that, who pick up on that. It's not so much a place as it is half as bad as what Navanot would have been. Interesting. Okay? It's a lot that's really unclear here. What is the punishment? What is Cain's reaction? What is Hashem's assurance? And I would say the greatest thing that's unclear, I'll just ask you for your thoughts before we take a look at any of the sources. How would you characterize Cain's reaction? Cain's behavior, his comportment? Is Cain repentant? Is he defiant? He's certainly scared. Okay, everyone gets scared when they're punished, but the question is more fundamentally, what is his attitude? How would you describe it?
Well, if it goes all alone, even if so, it would suggest that he realized the gravity of what he did.
Right, okay. No, actually, usually the way it's translated is my sin so great that you cannot bear? Which is kind of a way of minimizing. That's not usual? Okay, maybe I'm being presumptuous. So that's the question. What does that mean? Right, in the very first words that we saw, a very famous phrase is itself, thank you very much. How do you understand that? How do you understand God love on him and so? I'll say it very simply. Is it a question? Rhetorical, of course, but is it a question or a declarative statement? Right, so the Rashbam, that would be the hey idea, the Rashbam, he understands that it's more of a declarative statement. I think that's what you were implying, right? Okay, but that's not so obvious. So from the very beginning, anyone have any strong feelings or any feel there's any evidence in the text? What is Cain's comportment? Is he a repentant? Is he defiant?
He's also, I think the question of is it too great for you? Aren't you overreacting? Like you're saying to Hashem. I think, maybe a little bit too.
If you see it as a question, right. Is my sin too great to bear? You had to give me such a hard punishment, you couldn't have get Shana Lara Hamanas.
If that's the case, then he's not really so much remorseful.
Right.
And he's not
right.
Repentant.
Right, so the question is, let's say you're right, but that begs the question, how could he have such a chutzpah? He murdered somebody.
Yeah.
It's not like he clipped his toenail on Shabbos and we're going to give him skila. He says, it's just a toenail. Right? He murdered somebody. So it's confusing.
But it seems to be supported by the fact that he's almost arguing with the punishment. Like, you can't do that to me. Now anyone who meets me is going to...
Right. He's complaining it's not fair. But here's what's so fascinating, even though that doesn't make any sense to us, doesn't Hashem seem to give in? Hashem offers him protection.
But he doesn't say, okay, you don't need to wander. He just says...
Right, no. That's true. So it's interesting. The actual punishment of wandering, maybe Cain's complaining about, maybe not, we'll have to see. But that's never rescinded. But Cain says, and also they're going to kill me, which we don't know where that comes from to begin with. And at least about that, Hashem says, okay, fine, no one will kill you. But where did that come from? Why didn't Hashem just respond to him, okay, that's right, don't worry, I didn't tell anyone to kill you.
Well, the fact may be the fact that Hashem said that he'll do this for him would indicate that Hashem accepted his tshuva, maybe.
Well, that's the question. Is there tshuva here? That is the question.
I would think.
Okay, good,
Harry. He acknowledges it's the ovum.
Okay, so that gets back to the machlokas, the Harry you had, which is, how do you understand the opening pasuk? So let's start there. It's a good place to start. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says... Pasuk Yud Aleph. No, I take that back. Yud Gimel. Thank you. Bitmiya. That's a rhetorical question with astonishment. Not like Harry. Ata Toein El Yonim B'Tachtonim. You can somehow, God, you have the strength, the broad shoulders to bear the higher worlds, the lower worlds. You can do anything, God. Vavoni Yefshar Litzon. But somehow you can't bear to deal with me and my sin. You have to banish me. Give me time out. And definitely, eternal time out, I have to go be banished. Now this assumption, this Rashi, is based on an opinion in the Medrash. If you take a look at the Medrash, it says it perhaps slightly more clearly. I'm not sure why Rashi changed the language, because this language in the Medrash is actually clearer. In the beginning of the top line, you're willing to suffer, you're willing to deal with all sorts of, terrible behavior and things, etc. Ein at ulepish ai. Ain't Atasovel. Angels, yeah. Whatever's going on over there. It's complicated, The angels, sometimes they get jealous and they fight. And who knows? It's a Lebedic place up there. It's not clear. I don't know what it means. Point is, God, you can do anything, basically. And for all of a sudden, with me, you're throwing up your hands. I can't deal with you. I'm exiling you. Exile is kind of like, and again, it's reminiscent. Really, I didn't appreciate this ever before, but it's reminiscent of the fact that what do we often tell our kids, when the person is making fun of you and being mean to you, they probably like you. Right? When they don't like you, what do? They ignore you. Right? And it's true also, when we're most angry, we will sometimes ignore, right? Passive-aggressive. We will ignore the person. That's the most hurtful thing, is to ignore him. Right? So basically, that's what Kain is saying. You're sending me nav-nud. It's as if, like, you know, whatever I deserve, okay, give me the potch. Give me the potch. But nav-nud, you're sending me away? You're going to ignore me? That's worse. And why is it so bad? What did I do that's so bad? Why can't you deal with me? That somehow I'm so bad, you have to turn your back on me. That's the expression that Chazal and Rashi take and are giving. However, there is a second opinion in the Medrash. Dovar Achar, says the Medrash. Godol Avoni, Mishel Abba. My sin is greater than my father's. Abba al mitzvah kala avar the nitrid. Right? My father is just punished on a quote-unquote avera kala, right? It's not murder, right? Zush yavera chamura al achas kama v'kama. But here, I did something much, much worse. Hein garashta, and that's why you're sending me away. And mol garashtes abba, the day before you sent away my father out of the garden, v'achshav at megarshani. Right now you're even sending me away. What is the implication of this medrash? Is that it wasn't, in the second opinion, not that he was asking a question or being rhetorical, but he was admitting, right, remorseful. And take a look, who picks up on this in particular, among others? The Eben Ezra. Take a look at the Eben Ezra. Essentially, the Eben Ezra says, Das Kala Mefarshim, right? Not, it's not exactly true, but many Mefarshim, all the Mefarshim say the Eben Ezra believe, Shehoda Cheto, like the Rashbam. He holds, he was acknowledging, he was admitting his chet. And therefore, how do you understand Gadol Avoni Minaso? I think this is, again, I don't know if it's always appreciated. I certainly didn't appreciate it until relearning this. Part of the Shorosh HaMachlokas is how to understand Avoni. The English translation, how did I translate it originally, is my iniquity, is my sin too great to bear? And that, if you translate it as sin, that lends itself to the rhetorical question, the sarcastic response. However, says Eben Ezra, what does it mean? Onesh! He's admitting that he did wrong, but he's krechtzing, you know, he's throwing himself on the mercy of the court. He's pleading guilty, but he's saying, you know, God, I'm admitting what I did, but can you show me a little remorse, mercy? You're being a little bit too difficult for me. A completely different way of understanding the opening.
It's hard to understand how many
So it happens to be correct. I don't think I included it in the part that I typed for you, but Rav Hirsch actually has a big discussion about that etymologically. Before we see Rav Hirsch, let's see the Ramban. The Ramban quotes the first opinion, Bitmiya, first quotes Rashi in the Medrash, that it's rhetorical. And again, I think because of Rashi, traditionally, it's used in that way, in that rhetorical way, which is, again, not that we agree with Kain. We have the reaction of, what are you talking about? Yes, it is so bad. But we use that to demarcate something that is so great. Yes, it is so bad. It is so bad. Says the Ramban, however, it's not rhetorical. Not like Rashi. Hanacha b'pshat shehu vidui. Kain was admitting his chet. Amar, Kain said, Emes ki avoni gadol milis loach. True, my avera was too great to forgive. V'tzadik ato Hashem v'yosher mishpatecha, you're a righteous judge. Avol pisha en ashta osi harbe ma'od. You know, you gave me a very hard punishment, but that, you know, it's what I deserved. Hine, garashta osi hayom me'al pnei ha'adama. You've sent me into exile, kibihi yosi v'nod, when I'll be a wanderer, uchal ala'amod b'makom echad, I'll never be able to stay in one place. Hine anochi megurash min ha'adama, so if I am never able to stay still, what am I therefore never able to do? Farm the land, right? You've separated me from what was originally my whole personality, my whole essence is to be a farmer, and now you've destroyed me, you've taken away what really is my essence. You've destroyed me. You've been megarish me from the land. I can't ever be there. V'ein makam l'menuchasi. And again, here that might be a double entendre. Not just like he'll always be tired, you know, he's, and not just like, you know, if you don't have a home, it's bad for anybody. But again, You've taken away my menuchas hanefesh, my sifuk hanefesh. What do you get? What gives us fulfillment in life? When we're doing what we're meant to do. Right? But now he won't be able to do that because he'll be a constant wanderer. Right? He continues and makes reference to the continuation of the pasuk kumbi panecha asater. But before we see that, let's hold off. We'll see that shortly. Let's now take a moment and see the Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says something really, really fascinating. So we've seen two approaches until now. One is basically pro-Kayin in the sense that he's admitting his guilt. One is basically saying that he is being sarcastic as he argues for leniency. So, Rav Hirsch, you'll tell me, is he taking one of the two approaches or is he charting a third? Oven, as a rule, means sin and not punishment, as Harry said. Let us take it here, too, to mean sin. And the verse would then run, my sin is greater than I can bear. See, today you have driven me. This, says Rav Hirsch, is, if you read the pasuk the way he does, gives us great insight not only into Hashem's justice, but more fascinatingly, into the mind, the psychology of an avarian or of a criminal. When he says, my sin is too great to bear, God will have any minute so, says, Rav Hirsch continuing, you're showing me how great the Aveira is. After all, you have driven me away today. You severed my bond to the land. And now I have to fear, and I'm not in your presence. I won't be able to be protected. We still don't know why that is. We have to go back to Ramban for that. Rav Hirsch doesn't explain. And therefore, I fear that anyone could kill me. Right? That's just Rav Hirsch's dramatic summary of the pasuk. Now comes his analysis. Really fascinating. Take a moment and think again. Take a step back. Everything, look up for one second, please. Everything that he's saying, yes, I know how bad it was, and I did a terrible thing, and my sin is really great, and I'm going to have to be a wanderer, and I can't farm anymore, and I'll never have any menucha, and I won't be able to daven, and people are going to kill me. What word is constantly coming up? I, me, right? He's an ultimate self-absorbed narcissist. Who does he not seem to be mentioning at all? Hevel! Says Rav Hirsch so beautifully. Imagine Kayin, begotten in the feelings of Kanisi, stamped with the character, it's a poetic, stamped with the character of Kayin, brought to the crime through Kinna. This Kayin, realizing that he lost all of this, and forfeited all of this by his cry, becomes a realization of his guilt, not by the thought of what he has done to his brother, but by what he has done to himself. He's still the same Kayin. This is not a vidui. This is not a tshuva. This is a self-serving narcissist. My sin is too great. Not, it's such a terrible avera, murder so terrible, I'm crying under my talus, I'll hate on Yom Kippur. Rather, if I knew I was just doing it to Hevel, I could deal with it. That I've got no problem with, or at least not too great of a problem. But now that I realize what I did to myself, that's God alavoni. Had I only known that I had not only murdered my brother, that'd be bearable. But now that I know I've murdered myself, Kayin did not recognize the sin he had committed as being so much against his brother as being against himself. What a fascinating, fascinating shot. So he's certainly going in the general sense of Rashi in the first opinion of the Medrash, but again, his psychological focus on his being self-absorbed, that is, I think, a chiddush of Rav Hirsch.
That is, in fact, right. The way Cain felt, for God to forgive him or to be lenient.
Who said he forgave him?
Let's see the continuation.
Okay? All right. I'll just mention the following. I'll say two possibilities. A, some things are worse than death. And B, sometimes we do or don't punish a person, not for their benefit, but for our benefit. Now, what that might be, we'll have to see. But we'll take a look. All right, obviously, we have basically two approaches as we begin. Basically, two approaches. Let's go back to see the development of the Ramban now. So the Ramban focuses not only on the opening, the Ramban then goes through the rest of the pasuk and the next pasuk. Kayin is throwing out all these other things. And I'll be a wanderer, and I'll be banished from you, God. So what does that mean, banished from God? What do you mean? God's everywhere. What did that mean? So getting back to the middle of the Ramban, where I have at the end of the third line, Mipanech Asater, Kilo Uchalam Olofanech Alehizbalel. I'll never have any place where I can daven or lahakrev karbon or mincha. Why? Ki poshti v'gam nechlamti. I'll always be embarrassed. I'll be shamed in front of you, God. So the Ramban is really developing his approach of his remorse. He's so remorseful. And the fact is that Hashem is throwing him some mercy here. Because of that mercy, he feels constantly like a beggar before God, right? Someone does you a favor. Right? This is an old aphorism. Unfortunately, it's an aphorism that they speak about a lot in the rabbinate. Right? Ohavim become oivim. Right? That you do someone a favor often in life, so they feel indebted to you. It's a very awkward feeling. So often, the way weak people deal with that feeling of indebtedness and insecurity is by turning on you. Right? So I think they say a story once about, I think it was Rav Chaim Wasserman, where there was some guy who Mamash like hated him, was constantly driving him nuts. And at one point, walking out of Shul, Rav Chaim said, you know, I don't remember, but I must have done him a favor. I don't know, why else would someone hate me so much? Right? I know this, for example, to take a close to home rabbinic type of context, I had an older mentor who told me once about marriage counseling that he did. And there was some very unflattering things in terms of the dynamic of the relationship that were revealed in the counseling. It almost brought the marriage apart. But, you know, he helped and they were able to bring the marriage together. They saved the marriage. So he would have thought that their mamas would have loved him forever. They couldn't look at him in the eye. They were too embarrassed. And of course they would never admit that to anybody. So what did they have to do? They became the biggest complainers and criticizers of the rabbi.
Wow.
Right? So these, right?
So that it happened that they were together.
Huh? I don't think so. Okay, whatever, I only know the story secondhand. But anyway, the point is whether that story is true or not, it's a known psychological phenomenon. It happens many times. Says the Ramban that Cain was not happy about it, but Cain was basically expressing that, I'm going to be too embarrassed. I'm not going to be wanted to be close to you. What can I do? Kol motzai yargeni. Namely, you have been great kindness to me, and you're not killing me. Namely, Hainyan. Sh'amar lefanav, hinech et ay gadol verbesi alayonish. So again, Ramban is lishitoso, consistent, says the Ramban, Cain is admitting his guilt. It's a terrible punishment. But, shemreni shlo anash yoser, mi mashchayav dosi. Please, protect me that I shouldn't be punished any more than I deserve. Ki ba'avor sh'ehyeh navanad, lo evna li bayis, v'gedros b'shem mokom, herguni chayos. Listen, if I never can place roots anywhere, I'll never be able to have a home, I'll never be able to protect myself. The animals eventually are going to be wild animals. It's a rough place to live in the jungle. They're going to get me. And he says the Rabban, he wasn't complaining about the punishment. Saying, I'm willing to take the punishment, I deserve it. But I shouldn't get punished more than that. And yet, what you've done, perhaps quote-unquote unwittingly, will allow me to be punished more than that. It was reminiscent, as I read this Ramban, of the issue which I alluded to a little bit over Shavuos, and is a very challenging issue, which has to do with, you know, sometimes when people, criminals who deserve to go to jail, so it's one thing to go to jail, that's bad enough, but there's a lot of bad things that can happen in jails, which even the government officially doesn't want. You know, it's one thing to say, he gets what he deserves 5 years in jail, he gets 5 years in jail. He doesn't deserve to be abused for 5 years. So what do you do if you think that that's a real possibility? Does that mean you better not to protect the person that he shouldn't go to jail? That's a very tricky question, So the idea, and again, the justice of it, says Ramban, is real. I'll take the punishment, but I shouldn't get more than the punishment. And here, are you going to make me a wanderer? The animals are going to kill me. However, even on this last point, the Ramban looks again. The Ramban is like rescuing the tzidkus of Cain. He says, and it's really a tshuva statement here. Why? Because what's his focus on the fact that he's going to be vulnerable? Not just as it starts off in the Ramban, because I'm a wanderer, I don't have a house, I don't have a fortress, but rather, kisar tzilcha me'alai, your protection, your divine protection, tzilcha is like the shadow of God, is no longer with me. Says the Ramban, in so admitting, Hodek Adam Einenu Niskav Nimlat Pekocho, Rakushmir's Elyon Alav. He was acknowledging, right, that man cannot survive just based on his own strength. That even the strongest of men need God protection. And that was a further part of his tshuva. So Ramban goes through all of these layers of the psukim, focusing on the repentance of Cain.
Now, if you were being someone who was taking this verbatim, something into it, wouldn't you want to read it that way, in the sense that this is the, you know, all the progeny of the world is coming out of this man, right? So wouldn't you want to try and reflect him in a manner that at least there's some hope for humanity?
But all his progeny become the wicked ones who have washed away by the flood. Like, you have to be a little realistic.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that yet, I guess. Step at a time, right? One step at a time. Yeah, it's very tragic. It's very, very tragic. One way or the other, it's tragic no matter what. He was a murderer, whether he wanted to. Right. I understand. Yes, I understand. We'll see. So that's the tension. That is the tension. Take a look at the Radak here. Radak points out, Hengarash Tosi, so whereas the Ramban saw that in the spiritual realm, I won't be able to daven, so the Radak looks at it more prosaically, but he just says, listen, I'm going to have to run away. I'm going to have to leave my parents. Right? I'm going to have to run away. Kishomai Aviv Imo, right? My parents are wherever they are, exactly in this map, I don't know, but I'm going to have to run away. That itself is difficult. Umi panecha asater, I'm going to be away from you. Shekafatzta alai, v'yestarta panecha, v'hashkachasecha mimeni, samtani hefker lakol. Here he echoes the Ramban and says, you know what, I don't have that special relationship with you anymore that would protect me from the animals, etc. Now I'm hefker. Anyone can come get me. Ukashem novenad v'aretz, kol mi shimtzeini hargeni, achar shesilakta hashkachasecha mimeni, v'lotish kareini. So again, the Radak seems to be following in this way that sense of vulnerability that he's expressing, which makes it so, so difficult. Let's take a look now at the very, very, I mentioned before, I didn't even translate it. How do you translate the phrase, going back to Pasuk Tezvav? So we just saw, basically, all in all, a composite two approaches of Hashem, Kain's statement to Hashem. So now comes Hashem's response, which we don't even know where to begin because we don't know how to translate the words. What was Hashem's response in Pasuk Tezvav? Kol hore kayin shiv asayim yukam. What does that mean? So this is a major, major debate. Shiv asayim yukam, what does that mean? So Ibn Ezra, which I did not put on your sheet, says the same thing as Rashi, more or less. Take a look at Rashi. Shiv asayim yukam. I'm sorry, look at the first Rashi. L'chein kol horei kayin, before that. Ze echad min ha-mikra'os shekitzru divrayhem. This is one of those psukim in which there is a whole implication or meaning of the pasuk which is cut short. There's an implied part of the pasuk which is never there. Rather, viramzu. It's only hinted at below pirshu, but it's not explicated. Namely, so what, in other words, says Rashi, translating the words literally, you will not understand the pasuk. It's not translatable as is. It's a non sequitur as is. It is assuming a hidden, implied phrase. And what is that? L'chein, kol ha-reikayin, the pasuk begins, lashon ga'ara. God is making a threat. Namely, ko ya'aselo, so shall be done to whoever would kill Kayin. Kach v'kach ansho, this would be the punishment. L'pirish ansho doesn't say what the punishment would be, but is saying, says the Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, implied here is, kol motze kayin, kol hore kayin, anyone who kills kayin, there's an implied punishment, you know, like it trails off. Anyone who does it, right, if you say it right, if you say it the right way, you don't have to finish the sentence. Says Rashi, that's pregnant pause, that's what the pasuk means in the first phrase. In light of that, next Rashi, Shiv Asayim Yukam, Eini Rotsa Lihinokim Mikayin Achshav. I don't want to take the true vengeance from Kayin that he deserves right now. Rather, Lasov Shivadoros, in 7 generations, Ani Nokim Nikmasi Mimenu, I will take my vengeance from him, Shiamod Lemech Mibnei Bonav, one of his grandchildren, he will kill Yehargehu, and Lemech will kill him. That's the end of the pasuk. So, if a mikra shamar shiv asayim yukam, he will suffer revenge after 7 generations. What's the revenge? Nikmas hevel. Finally, hevel will get his revenge from Kayin. So, very, very different way. So, again, remember, this is Rashi, who at the beginning of the pasuk, is Rashi favorably disposed to Kayin or not? No, Rashi is the one who says that this is a rhetorical question, that Cain is like complaining, come on God, why are you being so hard on me? So consistent with that approach, so we ask, why is he so, to speak, buffering or protecting Cain? So we don't have a full answer yet. But says Rashi clearly, this is not a protection of Cain. He deserves to have been killed. But for whatever reason, we don't know yet, Rashi doesn't tell us, that judgment day will still come. But it's going to come in 7 years. And therefore, seven generations. And because Hashem wants things to play out in the way that they will, where Lamech kills him, therefore Hashem says, until then, no one touch him. I want to deal with him in my way. This is not Rachmanis on Cain, as much as it is, there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger picture. Now, what is the reason, maybe wandering for seven generations is torturous enough. It's like being, it's like being in solitary confinement for 10 years, and then we're going to execute you. Right, executing you right away would have been a Rachmanis. Right, so here, we're going to let him twist in the wind for seven generations, and not only will he be killed by one of his own descendants, right? Really tragic. So Rashi, it's very tragic, but Rashi is not shedding any tears for Cain. And don't think that we're not going to take the revenge that's deserved for Hevel, says Rashi, eventually, Shivasayim, you come is from Lashon revenge. There will be revenge eventually after seven generations. Now in light of this, that's one way to read the pasuk, right? Could the Ramban read it this way? The Ramban can't read it. This is like, cruel battering of Cain. Cain is a Baal Teshuva. How could it be? So take a look at the Ramban, top of the back of your sheet. Avol perish kol hore Cain kipshuto. Rashi and Ibn Ezra said there's all these implied phrases and they twist and turn the pasuk around. Says Ramban, give me a break. Read the pasuk kipshuto. Shomer Hashem, God said, L'chein kol asher yaharog es Cain shivasayim yukam mimenu. Anyone who kills Cain, I will take revenge sevenfold on him. Will there be another human, or a chves, a lion, or a tiger who's going to think that they're going to get revenge and kill Cain? You should know, hands off Cain. I dealt with him, he did his punishment, he did the crime, he'll do the time, but I decide. Anyone else who tries to touch him, they will suffer revenge for seven generations. Ki anish hahoregoso. Sheva al chet aso. Seven times, whatever avera you did to killing Cain, you'll get a punishment sevenfold by doing that. After all, why is Hashem so upset? Why not just say that anyone who kills Cain will get killed? No, it's seven times. Because why? My name is on the line. I gave Cain my word. Ki ani hivtachti es Cain shel yareg, ki ba'avor yeresu oso, hisvadoso lefonai. He admitted it to me. He's the first Baal Teshuva. We didn't have anything like this with Adam, really. He's the first, and we'll see that as a thread later in the shir. He admitted his chait. He was mevah. He did vidui to me. He admitted it. And he made a fair statement to me, says Ramban. I'll take the punishment, but not more than that. And I promised him he'd be okay. And therefore, anyone who would make, so to speak, Kaviochel, a liar out of God, so then you're going to get one punishment for Cain, but I would say another six for the Chil Hashem. I promised him. I'm punishing him. I'm not giving him mercy. I'm punishing him strongly. But everyone else, hands off. Completely, completely different way of approach to the pasuk. Yes?
It appears from the language in the Chumash that Ramban is correct.
As he says, Pshuto.
Right.
Much more simple, right?
The fact is, when Lamech kills Cain, that is seven generations later, which seems to fall into the way Rashi translates it.
Right.
In other words, it's...
Is it clear from the pasuk that Lamech kills Cain? I know it's a Rashi. I know it's a Rashi.
Generation.
It's a Rashi. I'm saying, is that isn't
the wording is never says Cain.
Yeah, I don't think it ever says that Cain did it. No, Rashi says it. No, Rashi in Perek Zayin says it also. But not Perek Zayin. Perek whatever it is. Yeah, Perek Zayin, right. Rashi does say it, but I don't think that it ever makes it clear in the pasuk that that necessarily happens. Where are you, Ethan? Chav Gimel?
No, Dalet.
Oh, later in our parak, excuse me. Dalet Chav Gimel.
Yeshiva Sun.
Hashem v'shiva.
No, but it doesn't say who killed him.
He says he killed someone.
Right.
In the previous passage, he says he killed
someone. Look at the Rashi, by the way. Just I don't have an answer for you, by the way, Gene, but look at the Rashi for a second on Chav Dalet. Kain shaharg b'mezid. Kain killed intentionally. Nitla lo, his judgment was suspended. Shividaro, seven generations. Anishi rakti shogeg, and then he says, I only killed him accidentally. Okay, well, we'll get to this perhaps before the summer break. I hope to finish Frank Dalet. So, it's a good question. How do you understand this according to the Ramban? I don't know what the Ramban said in the pasuk. I admit, I don't know.
Although his explanation,
we'll take a look. We'll take when we get to Chav Dalet, we'll take a look at the Ramban then. Yes. And he wanted to have. We'll see. This is a very poignant medrash. We're going to see shortly. Why would he Bedavka want to keep around Kayan? And like you said before, Mr. Rechman, maybe he really deserved to die. Why does he give a break now? So I would say two possible answers. Number one is the next medrash on your sheet, which is a direct contradiction to the Kli Yakar we saw last time. The Kli Yakar said that Kayan was punished because even though he was never commanded, he should have known. There's a certain natural law. You can't claim ignorance when it comes to murder. Right, that's a famous Kli Yakar. We saw that last time. But this medrash is exactly opposite that. The medrash says, Kayin harag v'lo hayalo mimi lomod. How did Kayin know you're not supposed to kill? Therefore, Kayin got a break. And therefore, he wasn't killed. But anyone who would kill Kayin, mikan ve'ela, kol harag Kayin yaharag. Anyone who kills Kayin or for that matter anybody else, then they already know. In other words, God sent out the word. Right, the first person who does it gets them rachmanas. But the next guy, right, the second guy always gets punished more, right? That's the way things go, right? You don't want to have an epidemic, so you punish the second guy more. So one reason why you would give Kain a break is because maybe you'll say he should have known. But there's another reason why. Maybe, as you just said, after all, he did this tshuva. Maybe there's a mila from, again, as I alluded to you in the beginning of the year, not for Kain's benefit, just, but for the world, for Hashem's benefit. It's good to keep Kain around. Right? That's what's called a dugma ishit. We have a example, right? Next time somebody doesn't avail, right? They ate an apple at a bracha, and they think, oh, the world's going to come to an end. Hashem's going to say, look at Kayin. You can do tshuva. You can survive even that. Don't give up.
It's also for us.
Right. So there's a lot that could go on with keeping him around, which is not just for his benefit. If you understand it for his benefit, either because he did tshuva or because he wasn't fair to him, he didn't know, all sorts of ways to understand it, as we just saw. But I'm just pointing out that there's other reasons why we might have kept him around, as well. Now, next thing, we have only 15 minutes left, but still some great stuff to see. So Hashem puts the sign on Kain. What is that? Right, any of like the Hollywood depictions or the art about, right, you have all sorts of pictures about what Kayin might have looked like. So some of them come from the Medrash. In fact, the Ebn Ezra gives you a brief summary, and then we'll see the Medrash itself. Ebn Ezra says, you know, there are a lot of opinions. Yesh Amrim ki os keren. Some say he had a horn. Achayim Amrim shanu chosek belibo. Yisir pachto mimenu. Some say there was nothing physical. But it gave him confidence, right? He gave him a pep talk. Kayin, you'll be okay. I'm with you, Kayin. Don't be scared. Third opinion says that Ben Ezra Hanochem, but ain't I? In my opinion, Shashem Asalo Os Achehemin Hakasav Lo Gila Haos. Says that Ben Ezra, we don't know what it was, but somehow give him a sign, you'll be all right. Again, Ben Ezra, like Ramban Lashitaso, you'll be all right. Now let's take a look at this incredible medrash itself. The medrash quotes quite a few opinions. What was the sign? We just got the preview from Ben Ezra. The first one, and you'll see a basic theme, even though it goes back and forth, a basic machlokas in the Medrash, mirroring the machlokas we've seen until now. Right? Are we favored, right? Is Kain a sympathetic figure, or is he adding insult to injury and not even admitting his guilt? Right? The same question we started this year with. Pay attention, you'll see it running through this Medrash. First opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he's Riach Lo Gilgel Chama. Again, not any physical sign on his body, but rather, somehow he made the sun shine in its greatest, you know, the sun did tricks. There was a light show for Kayin. Now that, clearly, is a very positive thing. As a positive thing, right? Disposed to his tshuva, perhaps. Amar Rav Nechemya, La'osa Rasha, Hayim Asriyat, Lo Kashbarach, Lo Gilgul Chama. you think that he deserves some rewarding light show, right? And again, the show, you know, to shine your light, right? It's in the Brichas Kohanim from last week's parsha, right? That's a metaphor for love, right? Shining the light of God, right? So that's the first opinion. It's very positive. A sign of love, of tshuva, of rehabilitation. Says Rabbi Chaim, you know, he's riach lo hatzaras. He gave him leprosy. Saras. That he should have to carry around the shame of what he did forever. That's the spiritual halachic equivalent of the scarlet letter.
And it makes people stay away from
him. Right, it's exactly right. He's really lonely, right. He's really lonely. Third opinion, fascinating. Rav Omar, who ever heard of this opinion before? Kelev Masar Lo. He gave him a dog. Now, what's pshat in the dog? It's, I think the way they say it over, and I think I may even have seen this once in the name of the Chavetz Chaim, this was also a musr. Because what is the dog's most famous trait? No, what is that? Not his physical. So. What?
Loyalty.
Loyalty, exactly. Loyalty. You, Chaim, betrayed loyalty. Not just because you killed Hevel, but what was the medrash we saw 2 weeks ago? That really Hevel was on top, right? It was a wrestling maneuver. He had him on top. And then he begged for his life, and then once Hevel had mercy, Cain right, turned, walked away, and then Cain came up and literally stabbed him in the back. So you betrayed the loyalty shown to you by your brother. You'll now have man's best friend forever as a reminder of what true loyalty is supposed to be. Abba Yossi Bar Kasri Omar, Keren Hitzmiach Lo. He sprouted a horn, which I think presumes that was a defense mechanism, or that would protect him. Again, which may be in line with the Ramban, you'll be protected physically, you have this thing that no one will start up with you. You're worried you shouldn't get beat up, you know, the animal shouldn't attack you, I'll give you a defense mechanism. And finally, Rav and Rav Chanin say something beautifully. Read the first word carefully. Not asa os, not that he made for him a sign, asa o os. He made him into the sign. He was the sign. But which two opinions? The Ratzchanim or the Baalei Tshuva? You have very dramatically, at the conclusion of this medrash, the two polar opposite approaches to Kayin. Whether it was the Tara'as, so that he made him into a sign for future murderers. This is what happens to you. Or he shined the sun or gave him the horn or whatever. This is what, you know, Baalei Tshuva can be. Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Take a look now at Rav Hirsch. Remember, Rav Hirsch has not been so favorably disposed to Cain. So how does he deal with this concept? So he points out it's a machlokus between the Chazal, whether it was a good or a bad thing. And then he specifically points to this last two opinions in the Medrash. Asa'o, Osa Ratzchanim, or Lebalei Tshuva. Says Rav Hirsch, this is where I have it underlined, God made Cain himself into a sign or a warning for murderers or penitents. Because Cain's condition is such a depressing one. Thereby God decreed a striking condition over Cain so that nobody who met Cain would kill him. For everyone recognized in his distressed condition a greater deterrent sign than his death would be. So just like what you said, and I was picking up on it before, that it's in God's agenda, it's in God's best interest, forget what's good for Cain, to keep him around, because that's a sign of tshuva, and it'll inspire us. And so Rav Hirsch, who's never been so favorably disposed to Cain, picks up on the other opinion in the Medrash and says, no, it's truth, to give him what he deserved, we would have killed him. But it was better for the world. And there are things, when people look at something, they say, you know, certain things are worse than death. I know that if I'll get punished, they're just going to give me a quick and painless injection and I'll die. That I'm willing to take a chance, I'll become a murderer. But I see the distressed, depressed, decrepit Cain wandering the face of the earth. That is a greater deterrent, says Rav Hirsch. Asa'o, os l'ratzchanim. That was the greatest deterrent. This is what will happen to you if you become ratzeach. Now, it's really fascinating. I wonder, you know, I didn't call up a criminologist. You know, I wonder, I think it's an old question, which is not so clear how great deterrents really work. I remember, of all people, Rabbi Yochanan Zweig of Miami. I heard only one or two shiurim from him live in my life, but one of them, and I think he, if I'm not mistaken, I think he went to law school. think he studied to be a lawyer. But he mentioned that in, I forget, the famous classic English multi-volume Tomb of Law, they pointed out that in whatever century, I don't remember, where they used to have these public hangings in London. So one of the things they used to hang for was pickpocketing. Theft was a capital crime. And they had these very public hangings so that, you know, you would see. You know, you should see and you should be scared. Yishmo v'yiro. However, he pointed out that they observed that as everyone gathered, right? Imagine a mass of hundreds of people, everyone looking up the gallows. Perfect place for pickpocketing, right? You're looking there, someone's got his hand in your wallet. So here you are at the place of the hanging for the pickpocketer, and that wasn't work. It didn't work. It did not work as a deterrent. Right? Now, I don't know. I'm not, my own sense, I would just throw it up as an open question. Does deterrence really work? You know, recently I've been thinking about particular types of problems, and you know, certain problems, especially I can, in my own mind, you could imagine where maybe it depends on the type of crime. You know, so certain types of crimes, you could be a normal, rational human being, and you could be tempted and do them, and maybe as a normal, rational human being who should have self-control, the deterrent can reclaim your control. But certain crimes are done because people are sick, and I don't know if a deterrent will help somebody who's sick. Plus, in the end, human nature is always to say that I won't get caught. So, it's a tough question, but leave aside the criminology perspective of it. Hirsch says that's what was going on. Now, let's conclude, and we'll see again in the last stage of these psukim, again, the same two approaches. Kind, the pasuk tells us at the end, left God's presence. What does that mean? Where did he go? Obviously, you can't leave God's presence. He's everywhere. So, the Medrash says, Mehechen Yotzei, where's he going? Yudin B'Shem Rev, Aibo Amar, Hishkil Dvarim La'achara V'yotza. The same words he had just uttered, I'm sorry God, God Alavonim and so, I'm doing a vidui. He threw those behind him as he walked out. Which is another way of saying, he didn't mean a word he said. He didn't mean a word he said. Kigonev Das El Yonah. He thought he was tricking God. I'll say one thing, but I'm just happy. Now I get to go leave God's presence. I can do whatever I want. And Rabbi Brechia says, to use a vivid metaphor to illustrate that, yatsa kemafris kemirma b'boro. Right? What do we teach all of our kids about the pig? Right? Who's kemafris? Right? The pig sticks up his hands. Right? I'm split hooves. So, right. But really, he's treif. So that's the image of Cain. Right? He said all the right things, but he didn't mean a thing. He didn't mean a thing. Yatsa kaim l'fnei Hashem. He just said what he had to say when he was at the principal's office, and then he was looking for more trouble when he left. He went out happy. Now this is a very unclear to me still, really. I'm not sure. Happy in what sense? So there's a Medrash in Tehillim. Take a look for a moment. There's a parallel Medrash in Tehillim which uses as the proof text to why should you assume that someone going out means they were happy. Quotes the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, Haman b'yomahu sameach v'tov lev. Now by referencing Haman, it certainly sounds like it's a criticism of him. And yet the continuation of that very medrash seems to imply that he did do tshuva. So I'm not sure what to make of that last part of the medrash. It could be that this opinion of happy is really happy in a positive way. And in fact, if you go back, and we'll conclude now with the last lines of our medrash, that seems to be the way the medrash itself here in Bereishis Rabbah tells us it. Because as he says, it continues and says, Pagabah Adam Arishon, remember, he has a father. He's going to wander in the Red Dock, said he's never going to see his parents again. But maybe his parents went to say goodbye to him, right? A sentencing, so to speak. A tearful hug and goodbye. And Adam Rishon said to him, Manatzeh b'dincha. So what happened? You knew. What happened in the judgment? I'm really a tzitzit tshuva v'nis pasharti. I repented, and my punishment was lessened. I wasn't killed. I only have a golus. Hislo Adam Rishon, etapeach al panav. Adam Rishon started going like this. Started hitting himself in the head. Kach hi kochel shel tshuva. You were able to do tshuva, and it even helped you as a murderer. Ani lo haisi yodea. I didn't know that. I didn't do tshuva for my own chet, but if what I would have known, oh, I would have done it. Yad Omar Rishon Omar. And at that moment, Adam got up, famous medrash, and he said, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. It was at this moment that he authored the Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, because what does it say there? Tov lahodos l'Hashem. Right? There's also Lashon Avidu, the Svados. Right? That's what he does. Omer Rabbi Levi, Amizmor Azad Marishan Omer, Rishtakach Midoro, as a parenthetical aside. Adam said it then, but who wrote that down? Nobody. Right? No one knew about it at the time. And then only Moshe Rabbeinu later picked it up. Echitshu al shmo mizmor shir liyom haShabbos tov l'hodos l'Hashem. So even in this last medrash, it's really powerful. We have a recurring machlokas. Right? There's a certain instinct, you know, and you see this, you know, again, and it was mentioned before, you know, how perhaps it would be a good thing, Ethan said, you know, we often, from a good place, we want to see the best even in the worst of people, right? Cain was a murderer, the first murderer. Again, there's only four people, he killed 25% of the human race. He's a mass murderer. But can we find some good in him? Should we find some good in him? And this is a fundamental machlokes in Chazal and in Mefarshim.
This Midrash is very disturbing. It seems that according to the Midrash, it says that he was like sort of faked out.
Right,
God.
The first part of it.
There was such contempt.
Absolutely, right. It's correct. It's like spitting on him.
What is interesting about this Midrash, Rabbi, is that you wonder when all this was happening, where Adam and Chava, where were they? You know,
right.
And in a sense, the Midrash said they were aware of what was going on.
But they didn't know what din was. They asked them, Mahaya Bedinka,
yeah,
right?
Right, but I mean, but the whole reaction to the murder of Hevel to the Torah doesn't.
Well, we saw that in a previous medrash about how they were walking and they didn't know what Cain was and they found his body, right? They didn't know how to bury him and then the animals showed him. Right, but yeah, it's tragic. Again, I haven't seen too many. I would love, I'm interested, as you are, Harry, to know if there would be Makoros, it sounds like there would be Midrashim, if anything, who would, you know, speak about all this from the parents' perspective. Just imagine from the parents' perspective, you know? You know, one brother killing another brother. I mean, it's the ultimate nightmare. Ultimate nightmare. Oh, man, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Really poor parents.